You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere. Here are your hosts, Matthew Leach and Paul Hagan.
Hello and welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Paul Hagan with Matthew Leach. In a few minutes, we'll be talking to Todd Zielecki, the Phillies beat writer for MLB.com. Matthew, the Phillies are a team that has had a disappointing year up till now, but lately have been coming back in the late innings, and they're showing that if nothing else, they're not quitting on themselves.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, they've played 500 ball for several weeks now, so, you know, it's not like this team is dead. They've just dug a really deep hole. And I mean, it is time to start thinking about young guys for this year and what happens next year. But, yeah, I think you're right. It's encouraging that they're not – they just haven't fallen apart now that they're pretty deep in the standings.
Todd, a guy that speaking of digging a deep hole, one of the guys who dug himself a pretty big hole earlier this year was first baseman Ryan Howard. There was even some talk about releasing him with two more years left on his contract. But he's had a big last week.
Yeah, he has. He definitely has been hitting the ball a little bit better, and I think certainly he's encouraged by what he's been able to do. And I think the front office more than anything is hopeful that he can finish the season strong and at least have them feel a little bit more comfortable about their first base situation going into next season. You know, you look at his overall numbers. You know, OPS, slugging percentage, they're nowhere near what he's been able to do back in his career. But, you know, they will point out, hey, this is a guy top five in the National League in RBIs. If, you know, he's still knocking in runs. He had a couple game-winning walk-off hits in the past week. So, again, you know, not out of the woods yet, but they're kind of keeping their fingers crossed that he can at least finish the season strong and they can go into next year feeling a little bit more comfortable about the middle of that lineup.
And along those lines, the Phillies, not only, as you mentioned, came back and won a couple games late, but even Saturday night came back and fell just a little bit short. Is Ryan Sandberg hanging his hat on that a little bit, that this team hasn't quit?
Yeah, I think so. I think he is. Certainly just the fact that they, you know, they understand that they're not going to make the postseason this year, certainly, and the season's a disappointment, and, you know, nobody will argue that point. But I think he does like the fact, or he's encouraged that these guys haven't just simply rolled it up and, you know, guys have kept working. You see guys taking early hitting every day still, and you see guys studying film before every game and after the game. So I think that's something that he's kind of holding on to right now when he looks at the season, because I think definitely they expected to be much better than they are. But the fact that they haven't, the fact that they are still actually putting together an effort, I think is something that, you know, he hopes is a good sign going forward and, you know, in the next season, the next spring training.
I want to go back to Howard a second. I mean, you mentioned the RBI thing, and I hear that from them a lot. Guys hitting .227 with runners in scoring position. I mean, do they really believe that the fact that he's driving in runs is a factor of anything beyond just having a lot of opportunities? I mean, you talk about a guy, not you, but guy gets talked about as this RBI man. He's not even hitting well in RBI chances. He's just got a zillion of them. Is that really, when they assess him, do they really assess him as that's a skill that he has rather than just a factor of opportunities?
Actually, yeah. They do believe that they're, whether they want to call it a knack or a skill, but yeah, they do believe that this is a guy that has an ability to knock in runs. And I've made that argument to some people in the front office that, well, you know, he's also had more runners on base per plate appearance than all but, I think, two other hitters in baseball. So it's a guy that hits cleanup pretty much every day, has a ton of runners on base, and as a result, you're going to knock some of those guys in. It's an interesting way to look at things for sure, but I think, you know, they're hoping that it does mean something, I guess. But I think the very telling thing about Ryan Howard is that, you know, he's got $60 million on his contract, and even if the Phillies would pay most of it, they would still have a tough time trying to find a trade partner. And I think it is telling that a couple weeks ago, Ryan Sandberg said, you know, it's time to see some other guys at first base. Now the tone has changed, and he's pretty much playing every day again. But there's certainly, I think, some people in the organization that look at the other numbers and say, you know, we need better going forward if we're going to get back into contention.
Now, this is, of course, an organization that has a lot of big contracts, and there's one that some people might be interested in taking on. Did they ever get close at all with the Cubs on Cole Hamels? Was that something that enticed them at all, or is that something that if it happens was never going to happen before the offseason?
It definitely enticed them, and they definitely talked. It did. My impression is that nothing ever got close, even though the Cubs, you know, they got a bunch of prospects in return for Samardzija and guys like that. They matched up well, but it didn't get close. And from what I understand, they would have to get at least three strong prospects, guys that could definitely plug in next season or very soon thereafter. And they're going to, in my opinion, and based on what I've heard, they're definitely going to explore it in the off season. Whether or not it happens or not remains to be seen, but they talked to the Cubs. There was genuine interest in it, but I think in the offseason they're looking at it like, why would we just want to make a trade right now involving one team when we could maybe pit a bunch of teams together and see what we can get? But I think it's something that they're open to, but they're going to have to be blown away, you know, blown away or really impressed to actually pull the trigger on something, because they look at it like, if Cole Hamels hit the free agent market right now, he would probably get a contract worth more than 4 years, $96 million, which is what he's owed at this point. So they kind of look at him as, you know, in a bargain, at a bargain in some sense.
And on the flip side of that too, Todd, you know, Cole Hamels, no run support to speak of, but has having another really good year, 16 of his last 18 starts, a 1.76 ERA. You know, he's not the type of guy that you give away lightly.
Absolutely, Paul. You know, he's probably having his best season as a pitcher in his daily career. What's interesting is he's throwing a lot harder than he has been. He credits this new workout regimen when he had some arm problems in spring training. He kind of got in this new workout routine, and now you see him pumping up fastballs 94, 95 miles an hour, and he's really just been an absolutely dominant pitcher. And the Phillies, while they do have a lot of holes to fill and a lot of things they need to do to go right to get back on the winning track, they do believe, rightly or wrongly, that Cole Hamels can kind of bridge that gap between one good era and another good era. Now, how long it takes to bridge that gap remains to be seen, but they do feel that with 4 years left in the deal and then they have an option for another year after that, that – they will get Cole Hamels pitching into meaningful baseball games again.
Sticking with the rotation, Roberto Hernandez traded to the Dodgers, sort of a minor deal. Jerome Williams comes in from the Rangers. What does that all mean in the bigger picture?
I think really the Jerome Williams deal and trading Roberto Hernandez, Roberto Hernandez, they looked at it like this. They signed him for a $4.5 million contract. He wasn't going to come back next year. And if you could spin him off to a team, you know, and Roberto Hernandez is not going to get you a top prospect, but they're going to be able to pick two lower-level minor leaguers in the Dodgers system. If they can hit on one of those guys, get one of those guys to contribute down the line, it's better than keeping Roberto Hernandez the entire season and getting nothing in return for him when he walks away. So that's kind of how they looked at that. Now they're going to give David Buchanan a look. He took Hernandez's spot in the rotation. Give him some more seasoning. See if he's a candidate to make the rotation next year out of spring training. And in terms of Jerome Williams, honestly, I think it's just kind of a placeholder type of situation. They had Sean O'Sullivan in there. See if they can get anything out of Jerome Williams. But certainly going forward, I think they have a hole that they need to fill in that rotation. And whether it comes on the free agent market, whether it comes with, you know, this year's first-round draft pick, Aaron Nola, there's definitely going to be a vacancy to fill either in the off season or a job to win in spring training.
You're a pro, Todd, because you teed me up perfectly here. Aaron Nola has moved really rapidly. He's in Double A now. He was a guy who was really kind of figured from before the draft to be one of the fast movers in this year's draft. How realistic is it that he could be a part of the opening day roster next year?
Well, interestingly enough, I literally just talked to Ruben Amaro Jr. about this about maybe like an hour ago, and he said, as of today, it's not likely. I said, why? He said, because I think he needs more time. Now, that's the GM speaking officially, you know, in the middle of August. But I've heard, you know, from scouts and from other people that this guy could probably compete right now at the big league level in some way, shape, or form. So I would not be surprised at all if, you know, he's in spring training and he competes for a job. And if he doesn't win that job, if they say, listen, we want to give him some more time in AAA, that's fine. But I do think that there's a very good chance that he's in this rotation at some point next season. He throws strikes. He's very mature. I've heard that he's got great poise on the mound. He doesn't get rattled, you know, so he's got a good head on his shoulders. And again, this is a guy that attacks a strike zone, and they need guys like that. And his stuff plays up well enough where, like I said, scouts seem to think that he could compete right now at this level. But right now, Ruben is saying unlikely. I say I don't necessarily think that it's as unlikely as he's saying at the moment.
Another young pitcher, Todd, Jesse Biddle, who had a terribly disappointing season, was actually given a mental break. Back at Clearwater, had a pretty good start, now says he had a concussion. How much hope is there in the organization that he could get back on track and be an impact pitcher here soon?
Yeah, you know, he had a good start in his first start back with Clearwater, so I think they're all keeping their fingers crossed. They still love his stuff. It's just kind of the between the years aspect. And you know, Roy Halladay was in town this weekend for alumni weekend, and he's the guy that has had some telephone conversations with Jesse Biddle. He said they haven't been able to meet up personally because their schedules haven't worked out. But Roy is a guy who early in his career was kind of lost mentally, really doubted himself, didn't think he could, you know, was questioning whether or not he was big league material. He found Harvey Dorfman, the famous sports psychologist, really bought into his system. And then he credits Harvey Dorfman so much for his turnaround and his success as a big league pitcher. And Roy now kind of basically said the other day he kind of wants to follow in that footstep in Harvey's footsteps. And so the fact that Roy is speaking with Jesse, if they can somehow get on the same page, or if Jesse can sort of buy into what Roy's telling him, the Phillies believe the stuff is there, the physical ability is there. And if that the mental side comes along, they do think that he can bounce back and compete for the Phillies and be a successful starting pitcher at some point.
Todd, Dominic Brown, a guy who the Phillies had hoped to build around, didn't start for 9 straight games until the other day. I know he had a tonsil infection at the beginning of that, but what is the where does he fit in the future as we stand now?
Yeah, Dominic to me is a little bit of a mystery in terms of where he stands in the organization, because certainly right now, you know, you're kind of looking at the future. There's some feeling that, you know, hey, Dominic, the guy that hit 27 home runs last season, that potential is still there, but then they're not playing him. So, you know, what's the kind of feeling right now in the organization? You talk to one group, they say, you know, this is a guy that we still think can put up big numbers, but then you look at the fact that he's not in the lineup, you say, well, I guess they don't feel that strongly about it. It really would be interesting to me to see how it plays out the rest of the year. They have Grady Sizemore. They've been playing him a lot, but you kind of wonder what the end game is with a guy like Grady Sizemore, because he's a free agent after the season. He's an older player, a lot of injury problems, obviously, over the past several seasons. So you play Grady Sizemore regularly the rest of the year. Are they going to re-sign him if he finishes strong? Could another team step in and maybe, you know, give him a 1-year contract with an option, and maybe the Phillies let him go? And then at that, then you're going, well, why did we play Grady Sizemore so much when we could have been playing Dominic Brown? So I'm not really sure, you know, how it is going to play out. But I think it is one of the more fascinating things to watch, because, like I said, they do see a guy with potential, but yet they're kind of going in another direction right now. And I guess there's still time to get things turned around and have things change. Maybe Dominic will play every game on this upcoming road trip. But right now it's kind of a head-scratcher.
Todd Zielecki, thanks for taking a few minutes to join us here on MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, along with Paul Hagan.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.